inadequate, and they are under pressure to toughen their targets before COP26, the crucial United Nations climate talks to be held in Glasgow, Scotland, this November. There has been also progress in the run-up to the Cornwall summit. All of the G7 countries have agreed to halt the funding of coal and coal-fired power stations, a huge step forward in making a global move away from the dirtiest fossil fuel. Yet none of this is enough. Global carbon dioxide output is forecast to jump by an almost record amount this year as the world returns to economic growth using fossil fuels, instead of making the leap needed to renewable energy and low-carbon energy. G7 countries are falling behind on the green recovery from COVID-19 that experts have been urging for more than a year, and reliance on coal has increased in some parts of the world, including the United States of America. The situation is worse in non-G7 countries. China, the world's biggest emitter of greenhouse gases and second biggest economy, is not represented at the G7 summit. China's reliance on coal has increased further in the recovery from COVID-19, despite the country's long-term goal of net zero emissions by 2050. Fatih Birol, Executive Director of International Energy Agency, IEA, said that while rich countries were cutting their greenhouse gas emissions, some developing countries would continue to increase theirs unless they could gain far more investment in shifting to a low-carbon economy. Fatih Birol said more than 90% of emissions in the next two decades will come from emerging economies, but they are less than 20% of global clean energy investment. He added, "If we can't accelerate the clean energy transition in these countries, I believe this will be the most critical fault line in global efforts to reach climate goals." To fund the shift to clean energy and to cope with the effects of climate breakdown, developing countries will need help from the richer countries. So far, promises of finance have not been met. Under a long-standing pledge made in 2009, poor countries were supposed to receive $100 billion a year from public and private sources by 2020. That target has certainly been missed, and the pressure is now on the G7, the grouping of the world's wealthiest countries, to find a way of plugging the gap, a crucial step in gaining developing countries' backing for any climate deal at the COP26, United Nations Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, welcome to another program of Islamic Upbringing at IRIB English Radio. With us today is Brother Abdullah Al Musawi. We're talking about Islamic upbringing. Salamun alaikum, Brother Sayyid. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm doing very well.
Welcome to another program of Islamic upbringing, and thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
I wanted to talk about the rights and duties of a parent towards children, and then I thought that we might move on from one to another and another to another. So, why do we not limit it? And is it possible that you elaborate on one duty and one right that a child has, one duty that a parent has, and that same thing being a right of the child, right? So if it's my duty, it's my right, child's right. One of them, as a parent, I have towards my child.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. A child has many rights over his father. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we mentioned this pretty much in every episode, that we... this amana, this trust that we have, it needs to be delivered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way He's giving it to us, right? Safe and sound. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, obviously there are laws and limitations that need to be maintained, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, in the same way that you have rights over your father, your child also has right over you.
Right.
So the notion of rights, it just seems to be logical. It seems to be the right thing to be done anyway. Because if Allah leaves it to chance and He leaves it to us, even when it comes to naming, you know, as simple as naming a child.
Wow, yeah.
From the hadith from Imam Sajjad Salamullah Alayhi, says is your child's right to be named with a good name. Right? Because sometimes you hear like really
funny names.
Awful. No, just awful. Funny, yeah, is awful one is thing, right, but word, awful know. Names, yeah. Right? Yeah. Sometimes, like, even in other languages, it could be foul. Even in English, sometimes we have names that are foul names.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
use
yeah.
as curse words.
Yeah.
And you don't want to name your child with that. So if he grows up with this name, it's, you know...
You imagine what person you want to bring up.
Yeah, so the Ahl Bayt Salamullah Alayhim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran says, you know, there are things that need to be maintained. There are rights and limitations that need to be maintained. Now, amongst the rights that our children has over us is...
So we can briefly mention that and then we can go for a break and come and elaborate on that. So what is that thing that you said?
One of the duties that sometimes we don't give as parents, we don't give too much importance, is that we need to pray, do dua for a child that is salih. To pray for a child, that's a good child, right?
Ooh.
And a lot of the times we think this is as a not an essential commodity. We think as a recommendation. It's okay to pray for a child, right? You know, Allahumma give me a good child, Allah give me a child.
Oh, do you mean like praying to be blessed with a good child?
To
or
be
after,
first,
after?
No, okay. First to be blessed with a good child. And two, for the child to continue to be a good child.
All right, so we're going to go into the details right after this short break. Please stay tuned.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Islamic Upbringing with Mehdi, and we have Brother Abdullah Al Musawi with us. Okay, so we were talking about praying for a child, for their well-being, spiritual well-being, like being righteous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So not only we have to pray for their spiritual well-being and their life, but we have to pray that Allah gives me a good child to begin with, right? Okay. For example, you say in Surah Al-Furqan, in verse 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Rabbana." So Allah is teaching me how to do dua to Him.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah,
how loving and merciful He is. "Rabbana hablana min azwajina." Oh Allah, give us from our partners, "wadhriyatana," and our lineage, "qurrata a'yun."
Right,
the comfort of the eye.
Okay,
right? It is, as we say, it is just a natural, it's a natural desire for a human being to have something that comforts him.
Yeah.
Among these comforts that we seek in life is to have beautiful, good children. Now, Muslim or non-Muslim, you ask any human being, you say to him, "How would you like your child?" He's like, "I would like to have a good child. I would like my kids to be good children."
Yeah, that's just a human.
Innate desire, right? We are born with it, that we want to have good children.
You want good of everything,
Allah says, and He teaches in the Quran, "Habana azwajan qurrat a'yun," because sometimes a child could be a pain in the eye.
Yeah, there could be a knife in the eye. And Allah, I'm not saying I was specific, one, you know, but like, they can't be, they can be a lot of children.
They could be. Yeah. So, and Allah is being specific here, He's saying qurrat a'yun, like a comfort of the eye.
Yeah.
Not saying, "Oh Allah," if Allah says, "Habdana min azwajina dhurriyyata qurrata," as, and He stops, like, "Give us from our partners kids," and He leaves it there.
No, He doesn't.
It could be a problem, right?
Right.
But He doesn't. Okay. He specifies, like, something that gives me comfort, something that gives me happiness, something that gives me joy. And then the end of the ayah, He says, "Waj'alna."
Okay. Us. As parents now.
Not just parents. Me and my kids and my lineage.
Okay. All of us.
All of us.
Okay.
"Ja'alna what?" Make us what? We say, "Oh Allah." He says, "Lil-muttaqina imama." Make us imams for those who are muttaqi.
Right. Leaders and role models.
Exactly. So, I don't want to be a muttaqi. I don't want my child to be a muttaqi. I actually want my child to lead the muttaqi.
That's so beautiful. Like, so, like, the lesson is coming out of yourself and self-focus. At the same time, you're asking for something for yourself. So you're not asking for a good progeny. You're just asking for the partners that are the comfort for your eyes. And also, you're like, okay, once you've done that, you know, other people also need that. So like, inspire other people to be like us once you've made us like that, right?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So I think this was from Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, not only you need to give good kids, but you also, the aim of you when it comes to your kids needs to be very high. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me good kids and make them imams for the muttaqeen. That's one verse. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another verse. He says, "Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah."
Okay, so is that Ibrahim alayhi salam who's saying
this? This is Zakaria saying
that. Okay.
Right, the other one was Ibrahim, this is Zakaria
alayhi
salam. Oh Allah, give me a lineage that it's, in essence, it's good.
And pure.
Pure, right? Tayyib, okay. Like, tayyib is anything that's, we say, if we, in our terminology, anything that's delicious, right?
Okay, yeah. That causes pleasure to you.
Anything that causes you pleasure and you feel that sense of happiness inside is considered to be tayyib.
Talk a bit more about that after this short break. Please stay tuned.
Ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Ya muqiy al-khayrat.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and this is Islamic Upbringing. So, Brother Abdullah, you talked about before the break, Prophet Zakaria, he wants something that is pure and pleasurable from his own progeny. No matter how much we do to make a positive impact on our children, it cannot be done without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. I mean, that's a beautiful point that you raised. The thing that we need to keep in mind, that everything happens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes things will happen without us asking, and sometimes it happens when we ask.
Because when
we ask, the right things happen. Allah talks to Musa, He says to him, "Ask me for even your salt."
Right? Okay,
so we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. Yet alone massive projects like kids.
Often I see myself in is like when I'm thinking about praying for something, ask for something, I'm like, okay, let me think. Because if I ask for this, I might not get that. So I've got this thing in my mind that if I use this card with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray for this, I might not get something that's larger than that, which isn't the case, is it? Like, whatever I ask for it, I'm going to get. Is it like, does that mean that I should not ask for smaller things?
No, we should ask for everything that we require.
Okay, but be it smaller, be it big, be it this,
anything,
worldly.
Anything, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you said in the ayah, قُلْ مَنْ يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَا.
Oh, that's what I was
Allah would not even care about you if it wasn't for your dua. Ya'ba means like he would not even look at you, he wouldn't even consider you.
Yeah, because you don't
if it
ask
wasn't
for
your dua. And if I have to put myself to question, pretty much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ma ya'ba'i bi all day. Why? Because I'm not asking him for anything. So Allah, when he says, ask me, Allah is not, he's saying, you know what, I'm just trying to be a bully. Like, you know, you got to ask, you got to beg me. No. Allah wants you to communicate with him. He wants you to talk to him.
And that's because he loves you, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Like when you love somebody, you just want to, you know, like when you fall in love with a woman or a woman loves to fall in love with a man, they will make the simplest excuses.
To talk to them.
Yeah. Like sometimes a tiny, lame excuse just to talk to them. Is this yours? Did you leave that here? You know? Lame. But they just want to have that communication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what? Ask me for anything. Salt.
Yeah.
I know you have salt. This is all like give me salt. And this is what Musa, among the prophets, he uses this beautifully in if you see in his life. After, you know, when he went and he gave the ladies water and then he sat down and he said, oh Allah, to what you have given me, I am so poor.
Yeah, I'm needy of what you
meaning what? Meaning I still need more.
Yeah.
And even when he was talking to him and he says to him, what's this in your hand? He says, it's my staff, I do this and this. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبَ أَخْرَى. Like, I have other things I can do with it. Which means what? Which means I want to go on, continue telling
you. I want to talk, you know, but like, I can't think of it, but there are other things that
he knew. But he wanted to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says more. He was expecting Allah says to him, okay, what else?
Okay.
I have other duties with it. And he wanted Allah to say to him, okay, what else do you do with this stuff?
So he
can keep talking. So Allah says, ask me for anything that you want. So especially the bigger the project is, the bigger the thing that you want to ask for, you need to put an effort for. Even the Anbiya, like you said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Zakariya alayhi salam, habli min kadiratan tayyibah, give me a good lineage, beautiful, good kids, comfort of the eye. If the Prophet alayhi salam ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the lineage, then it is only befitting that me and you, we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our lineage, pure lineage.
All right.
For
so
good lineage, for good family, good kids.
And that's also a duty because, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that he would not pay attention to you. Yes, he'd feed you, he'd give you the things that you need, but he wouldn't pay that specific and special attention to you if it wasn't for you asking him for whatever you need. Thank you, Brother Musa. We did really learn from you, and I hope others also did.
My pleasure.
Send in your emails to us on englishradio@irib.ir and other social media platforms that you know, Call of Islam Radio. Also visit our website, pastoday.com. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and since we're still basking in the birthday celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Ma'suma al-Fatima, peace be upon her, the daughter of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honor by her nephew, Imam Muhammad al-Taqi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The light.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo.
Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonius has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long. Two British artists have brought a combination of fun, art, and environmental concerns to the sidelines of the G7 summit. They have created a modern-day version of famous sculpture carved into America's Mount Rushmore. This time, it's called Mount Recyclemore. Joe Rush and Alex Rakic have made a sculpture of G7 leaders with electronic waste. They say their major goal is to raise awareness about the amount of unrecycled tech and gadgets, the damage they cause to the environment, and the ways to combat the issue internationally.
Well, what I'd like them to do, the leaders of the G7 conference, is I'd like them all to talk to each other and work out a plan that isn't just shifting the problem from one country to another, you know, but actually is a plan that we all work on together, which is how to deal with this waste and how to stop producing so much waste and how to recycle things. And all these issues have got to be dealt with globally. They can't be dealt with nationally because that's where the problem is. So we need them all to get together, like we've put them together here, and deal with the problem.
The United Nations says 53 million tons of electronic waste are generated annually all over the world. It estimates that the amount of the waste will double in less than 30 years. If that happens, electronic waste would become the fastest growing waste stream in the world. Advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now, they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, a while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car, but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in its thousands.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
A tiny worm has wriggled back to life after lying frozen for 24,000 years in the permafrost land of northern Siberia. The organism was recovered from soil samples taken from 3.5 meters below the ground in Russia's Yakutia region. It's a multicellular organism that can withstand extreme cold. This ancient worm has broken the record for the longest living abeloid rotifer worm. Previous research suggests that it could survive for a decade when frozen. Earlier, scientists also discovered 30,000-year-old microscopic worms from northern Siberia.
A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Australian scientists have discovered one of the world's largest ever dinosaur species in the Eromanga area in outback Queensland. Research shows the plant-eating sauropod lived between 92 million and 96 million years ago when Australia was attached to Antarctica. Paleontologists estimated the dinosaur was as long as a basketball court and as tall as a two-story building. That makes it the largest dinosaur ever found in Australia and one of the top five largest ones in the world. Bones of the dinosaur were first uncovered more than a decade ago by cattle farmers. Iranian capital Tehran has hosted a festival of cake sculptors. The event showcases delicious sweets that are carved into eye-catching sculptures. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's not a piece of cake to bake a sculpture, but pastry chefs here have made it. In the fourth festival of cake sculptures in Iran, sugarcraft artists from across the country have come under one roof in Tehran to cast their spell on these sweets and carve a wide range of fascinating 3D figures out of them. From this tasty coronavirus to this beautiful angel that is picking up the only eatable trash in the world.
Here you can see this angel, which represents the innocent heart of labor children, collecting pieces of trash that contain some of the simplest dreams of a labor child, such as quality food, books, and toys.
My cake is made based on what we call installation art. I have put together iconic structures and monuments of Iran, but when you take a look at them from a special angle, you can see Iran's map.
Some of the cake sculptures here have really pushed the envelope of the art of sculpting, like this bust that shows the 13th century Persian poet Rumi, surrounded with a heavenly garden that's decorated with intricate and mind-boggling details. It took its creator almost a month to finish it.
In the middle, I have put the bust of Rumi, who we refer to as Maulana in Iran. He's holding his most significant verse work, Masnavi Manavi. The garden I created around him and the birds here all are inspired by his poems.
Organizers say they hold the festival every year to modernize the confectionery industry and combine it with fine arts to make it more appealing to the public.
500 works are showcased here in four sections,
bus cakes, wedding cakes, cookie cakes, which are made using royal icing, and the fourth section is cream cakes. The major goal is to scout for talents who can revolutionize the confectionery industry.
Some of the participants in the festival are pastry chefs who try to make their cakes look better, and others are actually pro sculptors who want to bake a figure instead of carving it. Perhaps it's easy to tell who is who by taking a glimpse at their cakes. But sweets will win the competition. They're both delicious and delicate.
It takes ultimate care and an act for both bakery and artistry to be able to transform sweets into statues. In fact, they're both so spectacular and yummy that make you want to have the cake and eat it too. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Nowadays, phone addiction is causing an increasing number of accidents worldwide. A Korean engineer has come up with a creative, although satirical, way to tackle that issue. Pang Min-wook is a 28-year-old industrial engineer or designer. He has invented a robotic eyeball people can wear to avoid accidents when using their phones while walking. The device is strapped to the forehead and opens its eyelids when the users lower their heads. The third eye then beeps in warning when the user comes within 1 or 2 meters of an obstacle. Pang says his device is not a solution to the issue and hopes that people will understand the severity of their reliance on gadgets when they see their third eye.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country.
After a year-long delay due to the pandemic, Euro 2020 finally kicks off in Rome, and football lovers all over the world are in a fever. Now, a French baker living in Germany has also seized the moment to create special pastries for the championships. Ludovic Gerboin is a huge football fan. He has made sweets for all the teams present in this year's Euros, but most of his cakes are inspired by the French and German flags. He has mixed bakery traditions from different countries to capture the multinational spirit of the tournament. Ludovic hopes his country of origin, France, will lift the much coveted cup, but he is also favoring Germany.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome. Status of daughters in Islam is the topic we're gonna discuss today.
Oh,
Today, Monday, is the 3rd of Zilqa'da, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Luqman, verse 13 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ.
And mention, O Muhammad, when Luqman said to his son while he was instructing him, O my son, do not associate anything with Allah. Indeed, association with him is great injustice.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Admonition is one of the means of inviting the truth, and no one is needless of it. One of the names of the Quran is admonition. Some of the verses of the Holy Quran announce that sometimes the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny told Gabriel to admonish him. Imam Ali alayhi salam also sometimes told some of his companions that they might admonish him, because there is such an effect in hearing that it does not exist in knowing. Next to introducing Luqman and the rank of his knowledge and wisdom, in this noble verse, the Quran points to the first admonition of Luqman. You are with IRIB English Radio, today's special, and now honoring the daughters in Islam. Once one of the leaders of the believers was receiving people when a small daughter of his entered the room. So he kissed her, and a Bedouin was also in attendance and saw this, so he mentioned others in a very evil manner. A wise man who was also present witnessed all of this, and therefore said, O leader of the believers, do not listen to him. I swear by Allah that it is they, girls, who stay up to care for the sick in the family, who show mercy towards the elders, and who stand next to men during hardships. A man was granted the baby girl, so he became angry and isolated himself from his wife for a long time, and after a few months, he overheard his wife reciting the verse 216 of chapter number 2. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. We find that the females, both ladies and girls and daughters and our sisters play a very significant role in our communities. There's a prophetic hadith in that it's indicated, خَيْرُ أَوْلَادَكُمْ الْبَنَاتِ. The best of your children are your daughters, or your daughters are the best of your children. We find that in Islamic teachings, daughters are regarded as the special divine the special divine grace. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, indicated that in the case of the Prophet Moses, it's indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided a family with two daughters, and out of those two daughters, 70 other prophets were born. Generation after generation. And another one in this regard is simply that Yahya ibn Zakariya, who was one of the close associates and disciples of the 10th infallible Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, wrote a letter to the Imam and said that, and expressed in his letter, he expressed that his wife was pregnant, and he requested Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam's presence, his Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam's prayer, that the child would be a son. And Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered him that perhaps a daughter, perhaps a girl, and your daughter would be much better than your son. At the same time, we find that, for example, some of the divine prophets, like Abraham, had requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a daughter, so that after him, the daughter would mourn for him after his death, after the death of Abraham. We find that, daughters are more sensitive, are more emotional, and many of them are really very cooperative with their parents. At the same time, we find that although from time to time some daughters may do something that may sound quite annoying to their parents, yet it's the job of their parents to be very much attentive to them, to their daughters, because their daughters would sooner or later leave the parental homes and will be associated with the homes or lives of the spouses.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Important phrases parents can use to empower their daughters. One of them is, I love you no matter what. Take a break from be good today. Or, if you are good, I'll give you extra hugs tonight. Unconditional love is at the core of positive parenting and means that our love for our kids does not depend on the level of good behavior they have. Rooting our parenting in unconditional love is essential to building strong, confident girls. Trust that your daughters are good all the time, no matter what mistakes they make. Feeding this truth into our girls is a key motivating factor. Remove conditions and lean into unconditional love, even amidst imperfection and tough days or stages of life.
As-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Rasulillah, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Fatimata wa Khadija, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Amiril Mu'minin, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, as-salamu alayk.
Now, why fathers are so important to their daughters shows daughter how to receive love. Although mothers play a critical role in the lives of their daughters, much of what women learn about life comes from their father. Fathers would exemplify what a future husband would look like. How a father treats a mother helps daughters learn how they should receive and give love, and most importantly, how they expect to be treated as a woman. In other words, fathers would set the example of what a gentleman looks like. Fathers would lay down the moral boundaries and expectations of a daughter's relationship with men in adulthood. When a daughter sees her father treating her mother well, she learns that she is worthy and that women should be loved and treated with the utmost respect.
Now, Fatimatu Zahra alayhi salam, she played a big role in changing the Arab perspective about their daughters, because they looked down on their daughters and the women in general, but Fatima changed that. How? One of the things that the Arabs looked down upon their daughters was that in their culture, in their mentality, when a girl gets married, she doesn't belong to her father and mother anymore. She doesn't belong to her family anymore. When she gets married, she belongs to her husband's family. She's not one of the family anymore. And when she has children, her children and grandchildren, they are not considered the grandchildren of her father and mother. They are considered grandchildren of her in-laws. Her children wouldn't be considered as family members by her parents, because she belonged to another family now. So when they would want to count the offspring and descendants and family members of a man, they would only consider the children of their sons, not their daughters. The children of the daughters, they are not a part of the posterity of a man. They are not from his offspring.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.